The CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android phones, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
Are you ready, Steve? Andy?
Yeah!
Bert? Well, all right, fellas. Well, let's go!
You're listening to CFRN, the Christian Financial Radio Network.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/CFRN. Over 85,000 titles. Choose from mystery, romance, religion, science, technology, business, New York Times bestsellers, even children's books. You name it, Audible has it. With 85,000 titles to choose from, you're sure to find the perfect audiobook for yourself or to give as a gift, and it's absolutely free. Just point your browser to audibletrial.com/CFRN. That's audibletrial.com/CFRN. And become a part of the audiobook revolution by downloading your free audiobook today. audibletrial.com/CFRN.
Hey, trader, want to get rich quick? Well, good luck with that. If, on the other hand, you actually want to learn how to trade, the place to be is www.cfrn.net. Tune in Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern, for our daily devotional, and then spend the next 3 hours learning how it's done from professional traders who actually trade for a living. That's www.cfrn.net. Every trading day from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living.
Good afternoon, traders, and welcome back to the CFRN E-Mini Futures Cast. This is the daily broadcast of indeterminate length where we discuss all things E-Mini along with some really big ideas on the finer points of trading gold, bonds, crude, sugar, the euro, and even T-bills. Joining us today from our studios in Boston, Mr. Michael Bork. From our trading desk in Chicago, Mr. Burton Schlichter. And from our studios in Las Vegas, Nevada, Mr. David Williams. Now, to get things started, let's go to our host and founder in Studio A, overlooking South Mountain, America's largest city park. Here's Dwayne.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. Today is Monday, first day of April. April Fools, 2013. Quick look at the numbers. The Dow is down 28 points. The S&P is down 8. The comp is down 22. Gold is up $3.80. Crude is down 83 cents a barrel. Now, if it sounds like I'm a little bit distracted, well, I am. I'm in the process of sending out an email. I realize that's not your problem. But inadvertently, I had befouled the link to get signed. You know, you'd think if, since you only have to do it once a month now, right, sign up to get into the radio program and watch the live charts, participate in the discussion, you'd think since I only have to set that up once a month, I could, like, I don't know, get it right. But I messed it up. I put the wrong times in, and then Michael went in to fix it, and that threw another monkey wrench in the works. He did get it fixed for today, but then I decided to cancel the whole thing. So a lot of you are out there going, what in the world is going on? But anyway, I'm sending you an email right now. In theory, it's going to straighten everything out for you. I've already updated the web page. In fact, for those of you that are already logged in, I did something I should have done a long time ago on the homepage of CFRN.net. I used to always go under the radio tower, big red, white, and blue button. I think this is easier. click the big microphone. Boom. There you go. A man and his Lynx. Is that something? Right. Now, for my dad, it was smoked Lynx, hot Lynx. For me, hyper Lynx. What are you going to do? All right, we're going to talk about a couple things here real quick. Then Michael will do the recap. For those of you that are visiting us for the first time, welcome. You may have come expecting us to beat you over the head with a Bible or shove religion down your throat, but that's not how we roll. No, 2 hours a day, Monday through Friday, we come on, we talk about the markets, world events, technology, stuff. Stuff you want to talk about. You bring up topics, we talk about them. We come with topics, and we talk about them. 22 hours a day, we do stream Christian content, preaching, teaching, music, educational stuff, trading stuff. Primarily 22 hours a day, though, is the Christian content. And then 2 hours a day, we simply just have a conversation, talk about the markets. So if you're new, I'm just kind of trying to lay the groundwork so you know what to expect. At the beginning of each show, I make a couple of random remarks about the markets. I show you what's happening in a bigger time frame on an hourly chart, possibly a daily chart some days. I cover a couple headlines, and then we go to Michael in Boston, who covers all the trades that we made in the live trading room today. From start to finish, he just covers them all, the different markets. And then, when he's done, we head out to Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk to Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach, some days out of the week. We are joined here on this radio program by our good friend Mike Reed, the Trade Stalker. Been trading 30 years now. You don't trade for 30 years unless you got something right. And he has certainly got a thing or two right. Also, this week, we may have with us a very special guest. And in fact, he may be a very special guest. I'm shooting for every day. It may be every other day. I hope to meet him in the next couple days. There is a trader, okay? He has literally sold everything, gave everything away. He is setting out to travel America from town to town, burg to burg. He's starting out with a $10,000 account. Now, he trades Forex, but that's beside the point. He's leaving L.A., striking out across America. He'll stop in towns, he'll trade, he'll make a little money, he'll move on to the next town. He's leaving L.A. today. I've already been in touch with him by text message, and he'll be coming through Phoenix here in the next couple days. Hopefully, he and I are going to get a chance to sit down, have some coffee. I'll interview him about this whole journey, what brought it about, and then hopefully we'll be able to talk to him daily or at least a couple times a week during the radio program. If he cannot avail himself during the 12 to 2 Eastern time period each day, then he and I will converse off the air, and then I will broadcast it during the radio program and make it available via the podcast on the site and via iTunes. Speaking of iTunes, funny I should mention that. If you want to win the next iPad Mini, and let me show you who won the last one. I don't think I've shown his picture yet. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But here you go. It's up on the big screen. That's if you're logged in and if you can see my charts. The winner of the iPad Mini was... Those are my kids drawing the name out of the hat. See, we literally draw the names out of a hat, straw hat. This is Kyle. It's here for Kyle. Kyle won the Mini. Where's my sound editing pad? There we go. Fantastic. You could be the next one. Now, how could that happen? Go to the blog, view recent post. Just go down and look at the bottom of any post, such as this one. And right here where it says iTunes, click that. Subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a review. If you subscribe to the podcast, which is free, by the way, you get your name in the hat once. If you subscribe and leave a review, you get your name in the hat twice. If you have your spouse subscribe to the podcast, get your hat in the name of the hat a third time. Now, we don't want your spouse to leave a review if they've not actually listened to the program, because that would be unfair. That would be gaming the system, and we don't want to do that. We want legitimate subscriptions and legitimate reviews, okay? Tell us what we're doing right so we can do it even better, okay? All right, that's how you win. Also, on the blog last night, there is another one of my infamous five-minute videos that goes on for roughly, I think it's about 59 minutes. Something like that. I think it's 49. So it's a five-minute video that goes for 49 minutes. All right. And what do I talk about? I talk about the tweets. I talk about how you can get them, why it's important. And the chart is filled with tweets from the last couple of weeks. The chart's on the blog. So if you haven't had a chance to go out and take a look, do that. All right. Win yourself an iPad mini. Now, let me look real quick here. I see some questions stacking up over in the...
I took care of some of those questions.
Did you? Sorry. Okay, is there any that I should address or take care of?
Nope. I think.
Okay.
I think you're good. Yep, you're good.
Okay, all right. Okay, guys, so back to this chart, S&P 500 E-mini futures. We just had a big down hour. Friday, we made history, new all-time closing high for the S&P 500 E-mini futures. We kept saying last week, we don't think it's a matter of if they'll do it. We're confident they will do it. The big question is what happens after they do it. The then what? Well, okay, then what? Because think about it, the fund managers, the money managers, if they could just keep this thing right here where it is now, let's pop out to a daily chart. Somebody's got their watch set perfectly to when I start the show every day they call. Okay. Let's go over here and look just real quick at this daily chart. Seriously? Come on, that's not nice.
Stop. It's okay. Because of that link mess up, I bet.
No, nobody has that. Only, that's kind of a bat phone.
Okay,
here's the gap open into the new year, guys, at 1432. The S&P 500, 1432. This is futures, not cash. Then we hit a high, 1464. Okay. I don't know what the percentage... What percentage would that be on the year, Michael? What's the percentage gain for the year if we just as round numbers from 1432 to 1462?
1432 to 1462?
Yeah.
It would be a 100-point gain on 1440?
Yeah. Something like that.
Let me tell you that in just a second here. That would be a 7% gain, roughly.
Okay. All right, guys, we know that any year that the stock market, quote-unquote, hands us an 8 to 10% gain for the year, that's considered a great year, or at least a good year, an acceptable year, okay? So the money managers, all they have an interest in doing right now is if they can just keep this thing afloat, they'll get their year-end bonuses and all that kind of stuff. So am I saying we're going to stagnate for the rest of the year, sell in May, go away, all that? I hope not. I really hope not. Could this thing sell off? Well, you got a lot of folks with a lot of year-end bonuses that are going to try to hold this thing up. Now, we've come off initially from Friday's high. We're trading back below that trend line again. See, this trend line was put in way back last year. We gapped into the new year. We traded along it. We traded below it. We traded above it. Now we're right back at it. Now, as long as we stay anywhere near this trend line, it's onward and upward. This price channel that we were measuring price on back at the beginning of the year, Michael, I got an incoming chat. Can I transfer to you?
You sure can.
All right, I'm transferring chat. Okay. So this channel was 35 points wide. It is, or I'm sorry, 70. A 50% move would be this little measuring stick that I created, 35 points. Grab the stick. There we go. See, we got back to the middle of the channel and turned right around and raced right back up. So we'll use that to measure this move till there's no longer a move to be measured. Okay. Now, on Friday, or Thursday, I'm sorry, as we were headed into Good Friday, and by the way, I hope you all had a great Easter. I hope you had a beautiful day of contemplation on Friday, anticipation on Saturday, and celebration on Sunday. Thursday afternoon, headed into the close for the holiday weekend, we had our final tweet of the week, consider being long, about 1561. We got triggered. The first push-up was good for 3.5. The second push-up was good for 3. Remember, it came back and tested that area, 1561. Why? Well, because important prices and areas are almost always tested. And as I said in that hour-long video, that last 5 minutes, we see that happen again and again and again and again. And we're way beyond questioning why. It just is. And so we trade accordingly. Now, this morning, or last night, we had a tweet to consider being long above 1562. The tweet said, watch for 58 to 60 to hold as support. It did. Then consider being long above 62. The first push was good for 2 points. Then the market came back to do what? That's right, to test that important area where to the tick right there on that hour. And then it ran up 3 points. So between Thursday afternoon and this morning, 3.5, 3, 2, and 3 off the tweets. We did not tweet anything off of this right here. We did come out of a weekly trading zone here, and so some traders had some opportunity in the live trading room to participate in that based on the weekly trading zone. So that's really about all I've got for this chart right here, right now. A couple of headlines. I'll blaze through those real quick. We can get over to Mike. We had a great month in the live trading room. Michael's going to talk about that. I think we set a new all-time indoor world record for the live trading room.
We did.
We only trade 2 hours a day, guys, and we only trade one contract at a time. Michael will tell you about that when he takes over here in a minute. You know, we've all wondered how Twitter was going to make money. Well, they revealed it today. Beginning this month, Twitter will only allow you to use consonants. If you want to buy a vowel, okay, you pay one time, one money, $5 a month, and you can use vowels. Otherwise, your free tweets are restricted to just consonants.
Oh!
April Fools. All right. The U.S. Trademark Office has denied Apple a patent. Now, we thought they had those guys paid off pretty good because it seemed like they could get an... They got a patent for a rectangular device. But the iPad Mini, the U.S. Trademark Office said, no, we're not giving you that trademark. It's merely descriptive, and we're not going to approve it. In other news, corn prices are collapsing. There are 16 bubbles that are about to burst, and I think maybe I'll save that for tomorrow because they are diverse from the stock market to Phoenix. We actually have they're calling Phoenix a real estate bubble at the moment. This was very interesting. This came out over the weekend. A Saudi man has been sentenced to be fully paralyzed as punishment for stabbing and paralyzing his best friend 10 years ago. At age 14, Ali Al-Kawar stabbed his friend in the backbone. The victim has been completely paralyzed ever since and has not been able to lead a normal life and has been deprived of being a father. Now Ali must either pay more than $260,000 in compensation, which his family cannot afford, or face being paralyzed. This type of eye-for-an-eye punishment comes from the Code of Hammurabi, a legendary Mesopotamian king who ruled the Babylon Empire from 1792 to 1750 BCE. An eye-for-an-eye and a tooth-for-a-tooth was one of the 282 laws inscribed on a stone pillar It's unclear at this moment how the punishment would be carried out. Is there a drone in your future? Drones are about to go postal in southern France. In collaboration with drone maker Parrot, local postal service La Poste Group will deliver mail via quadricopter drones as early as May of this year. This is not an April Fool's. The group is already testing the Parrot Air Drone Postal Service with a team of 20 postal workers and 20 drones. The postal workers can control the drones by an iPod Touch, iPhone, or Android device using the Parrot's smartphone app. Drones are becoming more commonplace these days, with thousands of hobbyists building their own and sharing their experiences on sites like DIYdrones.com. Meanwhile, companies like FedEx are anxiously waiting for the day when drones are admitted to standard U.S. airspace. FedEx wants to be able to use drones to transport packages rather than having to rely on passenger planes. Now, that's because passenger planes need to be pressurized, which is expensive, and they also can't fly in formation, which is much more efficient. The FAA is working to officially allow the commercial use of drones by 2015, but the drones cannot fly higher than 400 feet above the ground and must be at least 5 miles away from any airport. Now, guys, this is, again, not an April Fool's. You need to go out and take a good look at the blue sky, because the day is coming, I think, that when you look up into the big blue yonder, there's going to be a lot of little specks, drones coming and going, doing their business, delivering mail, delivering newspapers, delivering packages, keeping an eye on you. Yeah, that too. The sky will be filled with drones. Now, as I recall the Jetsons, there was all kinds of traffic in the sky, but that was people in flying cars. So it didn't turn out exactly the way they thought it would, but drones are coming to a sky near you. Governor Rick Perry wants the Federal Reserve to give Texas its $1 billion in gold back. He actually wants the bullion, and he's making a big deal over it. Is it for show, or does he really want his gold back? Well, this might tell you a little bit right here. Bitcoin. Do you know what Bitcoin is? You probably don't. Maybe you do. I don't know. Here's a chart. I'm going to tell you real quick, and then we'll go to Michael. The price of a Bitcoin, the uber-buzzy digital currency, is surging. A few weeks ago, it was at $40. This morning, the price of a Bitcoin hit $100. It's already up $4 today, as you can see from this little chart that I have up. Now, all of this is stoking an incredible interest in the currency. The media is obsessed. Business Week recently wondered whether Bitcoin was the last safe haven. But there's a downside to this. The Bitcoin economy is now in a terrible state of hyperdeflation. We know what hyperinflation is. That's when prices surge. Hyperdeflation is when prices violently collapse. So a few weeks ago, a pizza might have cost you one Bitcoin. Today, it might only cost you a fifth of a Bitcoin, which sounds great. But if you look at the above chart, why would you spend anything? Why would you buy a pizza, a pot, or anything else when tomorrow your Bitcoin will be worth more? With this kind of chart, you'd be insane to do anything but hoard your Bitcoins. So yes, all the hype is great for some folks in the ecosystem, but ultimately there's a reason that over time, governments prefer to see their currency slowly depreciate. A surging currency leads to hoarding, which kills real transactions. Now, I'm going to put a link into the chat box while Michael is going over the recap. And I'm going to put a link into the chat box. And while Michael is doing the recap, and this link will take you on a little history of the Bitcoin, how it's created, how you can get some, the whole story. It's very fascinating. I've watched this thing run up and collapse a couple of times over the last year and a half, I think it is, that I've been following it. It looks like it's for real. It looks like it's here to stay. It is becoming a form of accepted currency. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it's in violation of the Constitution of the United States, but because it, well, you read the story and there's no body to go after for this. It's a form of digital bartering, so to speak. But I'll let you read it. I'll put the link out. You read it and then we'll all talk about it tomorrow, because then you'll be highly educated about it. Okay? All right. I'm totally lost in your system. I'd love to see your live trading site. Getting a lot of emails. Well, Mike, I'm going to type in, huh? And, Michael, I'm going to... How does this exactly work? Where are all these questions coming from? Anyway, let me just go ahead and send you the charts, Michael.
Okay. All right. I'll grab the charts.
Does that work for you?
You can handle that.
I'll see if I can straighten out all this confusion.
Okay. Excellent.
Kind of self-explanatory, guys, but apparently I failed to explain something properly, so...
There we are.
If you go to the homepage of CFRN.net, click the big microphone on the right-hand side, follow those instructions, you'll be able to come in here and see the charts, participate in the discussion, all that stuff.
This one. Right over here.
And I don't mean to be flippant with anybody. I certainly want to help you if you need help.
Go to the homepage and click the big microphone. And that makes an even bigger microphone. Then you click on the Watch Live Now, and it brings you right in there. All right. Now, you've already done that. If you just saw me do that, you've already done that. So, moving on to the recap. Let's get that done. All right. I'm going to start the recording up. If anybody has any questions, type them in here, and I will answer them as I can, okay? Just type them in, and I'll answer them, all right? And here we go. All right, good afternoon, everyone. Today is the first day of April 2013. The results in our live trading room this morning, we were plus $160 a contract. We had plus 14 ticks on the Russell, plus one tick on crude oil, plus one tick on gold. It took us 33 minutes and four trades to get our 2 points. We were at $110 a contract when we got to our 2 points. I think we had five trades. We may have had six. Until I go over all the trades with you, I don't know exactly how many. Okay. This was the result from last month. We had $5,202.50 per contract was the result of the live trading room last month. After an $8 commission per trade, we had 159 trades last month. It would have been $3,930.50 per contract. That's assuming an $8 turn. Okay, that's really high. But we wanted to make sure we pretty much covered every one. Okay. So that was last month, and so far this month we are green again. On April 1st, 14-1-1 is what we have. All right. So let's start out with crude oil. Okay, I did take some trades on crude this morning. We started off with a losing trade on crude, right here. Three trades on crude. Okay, have to count the number of trades. The very first trade we took was right here on crude oil. I'll show you the pictures. Okay. I'll show you the pictures here quickly. And here we go. We had a bullish cross right here. All right, this is what you look for. Step one, you look for the MA1, which is a blue and red line, to cross over the BBC, which is a green line, to pull away from the BBC, then to come back and test it, and to have bullish divergence on the cycle. I'm bullish divergence on the slingshot. That means the green line moving away from the cycle portion of the slingshot, and for the cycle portion to be blue. In this case right here, the cycle portion was red. So we had to draw a trend line and use our other method right here. Right in here. There's two reasons to use the trend lines. One is if price has so much momentum, like over here, that it doesn't pull back and hit the BBC, then you draw a trend line up the bottom to look for a down close below it when you still have divergence down here. The cycle does not have to be the right color. The second way is if you do hit the BBC and the cycle is the wrong color, then you just look for the up close above it, okay? It's going to be an up close above the trend line. It's really pretty straightforward and simple. I know, you know, if this is your first time looking at it, it may look a little bit complicated, but it's really not. We do the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again, and that's how we roll. Over here, we had the one with the cycle was the wrong color. Okay, tested the BBC, gave an up close, but we needed an up close above the trend line. We got one. We took the trade. We didn't move our stop up, and it took us out at minus 8 ticks. Our next trade was right over here. We got short right there. We ended up taking plus. That was minus 8 on this one. We got plus 9 on that one. That's what got us to plus 1 tick on the morning. Okay. There was another opportunity in here to short that we missed. We got long in here, and I messed this trade up. We should have gotten some profit on that trade, but I messed it up when I was trading it. But you see we had the bullish cross, the test of the BBC with an up close right here, but we didn't have any divergence. So we had to wait for this over here. All right, and we ended up getting a trend line drawn over here, and the up close was right there. I got long there, and I thought it moved up 4 ticks, but it only moved up 3. I thought it moved up 4, at which point I put my stop at break-even. Anyway, I ended up getting out at break-even, so I was plus 1 on crude oil for the morning. All right, you can see there was another opportunity right here at the end of the morning session. I tried to get into that, but I missed it. There was a shorting opportunity. No, there wasn't a shorting opportunity in here. We didn't have any divergence. Okay, that was it. That was our morning on crude. All right, not a lot happening on crude. There is one thing worth looking at. Well, it pretty much already happened, so I'm not going to bother with it. All right, that was crude oil. Now, we'll look at the Russell next. Okay, the Russell had some nice moves this morning. We were able to take two of them. Oh, wow, yeah, there's 6 trades altogether just on those two markets. So I do have to go back into my spreadsheet and update it. When I'm done, I'll go back in and update it, okay? Our first trade over here on the Russell was right here. You see we had the bearish cross, the test of the BBC with a down close, bearish divergence, and the cycle was blue, so we needed a down close below the trend line. It all happened to come together at once. We got in that. We took 10 ticks profit. That's where we made our 10 ticks on the morning. You know, our 2 points equivalent or $100 a contract equivalent. It took us 33 minutes to do it. All right, our next trade was over here. We ended up taking a break even on that one, and the next trade after that was way down here. We missed some nice opportunities in here on the Russell, there and there and there. All of those were opportunities to take trades, and all of them could have been executed fairly simply if you were trading just the Russell or maybe the Russell and one or two other things and not answering questions from 100 people. But the last trade that I took was over here, and I took a little bit profit on it. I took 4 ticks profit on this one. And the reason I moved my stop up so quickly was because the green line got into the cycle. All right, I didn't realize that the weekly trading zone was right below us, otherwise I would have let it go through it. But yeah, it is what it is. We got 4 ticks profit on it. All right, so we ended plus 14 ticks on the Russell this morning. Let me slide the Russell over. Now we'll look at gold. All right, on gold, we had, how many trades did we take here? 2 trades. All right, so I need to update this. We didn't take 5 trades, we took 8 trades. 8 trades total on the day. Okay. Just want to make sure we have everything updated properly. All right. Let's see. On gold. In here this morning, we took a long trade right in here. We had the bullish cross over the BBC. Price pulled away, but it never came back down. We drew our trend line then, and we needed an up close above the trend line. We got the up close right there. We got long. Once we put 4 ticks profit in the trade, we moved our stop up to break even. It came back, took us out of break even. Our next trade, you see in here when we had the news event, there was a lot of movement. All the markets really moved around in there a lot. We had ISM manufacturing came in lower than expected, I think. The next opportunity was right in here. We missed that one, and we missed another one over here. Once it turned around and it started to move up, we jumped in there, and we ended up getting one tick profit on that trade. We got into the trade right here on the up close off the BBC with the bullish divergence in the blue cycle after the cross. Okay, we got in right there. And after we got in, price moved up at least four ticks in our favor, and I moved my stop up to plus one tick. Came back down, took me out at plus one tick, and continued upward. That was it. Those were all the trades that we actually took in the live trading room. Now, I'll show you a couple other things that happened in the live trading room. Over here on soybeans, it was an opportunity in there, another one in there. And we were looking for more opportunity here on the soybeans, but it just didn't happen in the live trading room. Okay, the NQ had a couple of nice opportunities this morning. I believe we pointed out one or two of them. Right in here was a nice one. Right in here was one that didn't work out. Here on the way down, right here would have been your long opportunity. And another one right in here. Not long, but short. Right there and right there. Things spun around and they started to go up. There would have been a long opportunity right there. Okay, they turned around and started to go down. There would have been a short right there. And another short right here. Okay, that's the way the NQ worked out this morning. Let's see, let me scroll back here on the ES. There were a couple of opportunities this morning. This was pre-market right in here. You would have had to get long off the BBC on the up close right here, but that moved up 2 points. I know we had at least one partner that did that this morning. Over here, there was a shorting opportunity coming out of the weekly trading zone right in here. I believe I didn't draw the trend line, but it was a down close below the trend line. Okay. Which would have been right over here. All right. Right in there with bearish divergence with the move down. There's another one right over here that's still struggling along. Okay, that's what we had on the ES this morning. On natural gas, I pointed one out over here, but it took forever for anything to materialize on natural gas this morning. All right, there was a short one in here and a long one up here. And since the break, there really hasn't been much. In here, tested the BBC with a down close right there. Would have been the opportunity before the black line got up above. So it would have been right in there for those of you guys who like to trade natural gas. On the euro, there was a holiday in Europe today. So that is why the euro was kind of stuck in the mud most of the morning session. We did highlight this area in here where there was a long opportunity off the BBC. When the news came out at 10 o'clock, it jumped up. Gave another opportunity, and that was pretty much it. That was pretty much it. All right, I know that was a quicker recap than normal, but if you have not taken a free trial with us, go to www.cfrn.net/apply, sign up for the free trial. If you have taken a free trial with us and you want to become a partner, just send us an email at support@cfrn.net. with the text partner info in the header line. Okay? It's as simple as that. Just send it to us and we'll send you off all the information you need to become a partner to get in here, get into our live trading room with us, and start taking some of these trades. Alright? That said, I'm going to stop the recording here and I don't see any new questions coming in. Okay, the recording is stopped.
Are no new questions. There are a couple of links in the chat box, guys, if you want to. There's a link that'll just take you right to the apply page that Michael was just talking about, the one if you want to take the free trial, download. Now, here's the deal on that free trial. Okay, free trials are not all created equal. On this free trial, we treat you just like you were a partner. We bring you into the trading room, give you our platform, we give you our proprietary indicators, and then we teach you how to use them. Then we let you use them in the simulator to put on and take off trades for 5 days. At the end of 5 days, if it's not for you, leave our indicators on the counter as you depart the building. If you're amazed, astounded, and would never think of trading any other way, then that's when you send that email to support@cfrn.net. And you take the next step to become a partner, which begins the 90-day mentoring journey, gets you into the video library, where we're closing in, I think, on about 300 hours of training videos, get you into the workshop every Thursday night, get you the weekly trading zones every week, And the weekly trading zones, well, sometimes they have been. Are you doing anything? You got a trade going on right there? No.
No, there's one that just set up. I was just highlighting it for anybody that might have been watching it.
All right. All right, I'll go ahead and snag these back then.
All right.
Okay. This, by the way, is a soybean chart, the ZSK3. We talked about this last week, about this kind of a quadruple bottom sitting up here. If that thing breaks, we should see the lows over here. But it should try to hold at least a bit. It did hold a bit on Friday, but that's not what I wanted to show you. Let me go back. I already took the zones off, didn't I, for last week. Last week the zone was 58.59. For those of you that might be new, well, you can go look on the blog, but let me just show you real quick. 58.59. Are you going to choke? Okay. All right, 58.59. So I just want to show you this. We scroll back through last week. This is how, one way, partners find the zones to be beneficial. There we go. Because price has a tendency to... I'll go back to the beginning of last week just real quick. This was Sunday night a week ago. Price went from zone to zone. And then once it got down here, it made four round trips. These are hourly candles. Down, up, down, up. 6 points each time. So over 5 hours. It was good for 24 points, just banging back and forth from zone to zone. I go over that in some detail in the video that I posted this weekend. And then price comes up, pulls back into the zone for support, makes a run to the next zone, good for 10 points. Then it consolidates for about 13 hours and sells off back down to the zone, where it finds support and runs back up to the zone. Now, this can't go on forever, can it? I mean, 10, 20, 30, can it? No. See, eventually, the buyers step in early here and run this thing up. And when that happens, okay, it doesn't get all the way back to the zone, so you know there's some buying momentum here. It hits the zone. It is resistance for a nice little retracement from 59 down to 54.5, so about a 4.5-point move there. But then it gets back above the zone, okay? And then it runs up, comes back to the zone for support, makes a run. Comes back to the zone for support, makes a run. Now, the reason I had taken this zone off is because those are last week's zones. We have new zones every week. They go out to the partners every Monday morning prior to the market opening. Once the zones are published for the week, they remain the same the entire week, which makes it really, you know, it's not such a fascinating thing on Monday when they're fresh, but on Thursday, when price is still banging between zone to zone to zone, it gets a little more fascinating because it's like, wow. Now, it's not a mystical thing. In fact, I always try to demystify it. And someone brought this up last week. They said, hey, I'd sure hate to become a partner only to find out those zones were just support and resistance. Support and resistance is the most powerful thing there is in the market. There's nothing more powerful than that. Period. There just isn't. So I hope when I brought that up last week that it brought some clarity to the person who had asked that question. If you can find good levels of support and resistance in the market, you'll be trading 30 years from now, just like Mike Reed is trading 30 years from now, 30 years later. He's the king of support and resistance. Okay? I learned a lot from him. I've taken his work and I've, you know, kind of made it my own. I've done some different things with it, but I believe in giving credit where credit's due, and I brought this up when he was on the show last week, and I thanked him in front of everyone for all that I learned from him, because it was powerful knowledge. Okay. And that's what we share with partners. Everything that I've learned over the years, everything that Michael's learned over the years, partners benefit from that. And then partners, as we come into the workshops on Thursday night, partners bring things they may know and have learned over the years into the meetings and into the conversation. And that's what a community is all about. It's not one person struggling, you know, to survive in the markets, but it's a group of people, a community, a hive mind, if you will, seeking out the best solution to trade the markets, to trade for a living. Trading's not easy, but it can be simple. So if you'll allow it to be, but that's the key. And sometimes as humans, we struggle because we don't easy doesn't come easy for most of us. But that's a deep subject, and we'll leave it for another day. With that, Michael, I guess we'll head on out to Las Vegas.
Excellent.
All right. A reminder, guys, we're giving away another iPad Mini. We can't give them away quick enough. All you have to do is follow that link that I put into the chat box. Go subscribe to the podcast. You get your name and the hat. Then you can leave a review. You can either type in a review or leave a 5-star review, whatever you want to do. And that'll get your name in the hat a second time, all right? And I'd love to see you win, but it's sort of like the lottery. You got to play to win. You don't have to buy anything, you know, to sign up for the podcast, to subscribe to the podcast. Doesn't cost you a dime. And leaving a review doesn't cost you. It costs you about 5 minutes of your time. And we appreciate it, all right? That's your way of giving back today. Okay, we're going to pause for a very brief station identification. We'll be right back with Mr. David Williams from PageTrader.com and Miss Robin Dane, the trading coach. So don't touch your radio dial. We'll be right back.
You're listening to CFRN, a community of believers who trade for a living. To learn more about who we are, what we do, and how we do it, call toll-free 1-866-928-3310 and we'll send you out a no-obligation information kit absolutely free. 866-928-3310.
Morning, Dwayne.
David, good morning. Welcome to the show.
And good morning, everybody. Good morning,
hey,
everybody. It's a great day here in Las Vegas. Good morning, Dwayne, Michael, and David.
Hey, did you find the eggs? Did you find the eggs?
I found the eggs.
You found the eggs. All right, cool.
I found the eggs. It was a wonderful Easter.
All right, good. Right.
It was such a fabulous day here in Las Vegas on Easter. The weather couldn't be more spectacular.
It was. I have to back you up on that. It was really a beautiful day. It was wonderful.
Yeah, it was an exceptional day, and it was a nice day to just do nothing. I mean, I did something, but it was a nice day not to worry about work or anything else going on, just to take the day. And enjoy the day for what
very
it
nice.
Was for a fabulous Easter.
Yeah, very good. Dwayne, did you do anything special for Easter out there?
I did, David Williams. I went to church on Sunday, had a nice Easter celebration, spent some time with the family, had a chicken dinner, and had a nice day at home.
Oh, that's nice.
It was.
Well, yeah, and me too. We had a nice time out here in Las Vegas. Beautiful weather. We're going to have one heck of a summer, I think, coming up. It'll be beautiful, but it's going to be real hot.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're setting up for that.
Yeah. But very, very pretty time of year to be out here for those of you who might be thinking about traveling to Las Vegas. You know, we're...
Yeah.
It's so pretty here right now. You'd be amazed.
It's a desert, but it's the prettiest time of the year for the desert.
It sure is. And I have to tell you, I took a run out to Boulder City yesterday, and these yellow flowers lined the sides of the road. And I take that run out
daisies.
There. I don't think they were daisies. I never saw them. They were little, and they didn't look like daisies.
Huh,
they were
okay. This
little yellow desert flower, and they covered the whole both sides of the road. And I take that run out there, you know, once every 2 weeks or so, and never have I seen the flowers. It's like they just bloomed for Easter. It was so fabulous. It was really amazing. The slightest bit of water makes something grow out there. It's just incredible.
It is. Yeah, just as soon as you see the water, then you see the growth, and then the water goes away, and everything dies.
And everything's
gone. That's why we call it a desert.
Yeah, I mean, it's really such a magical place. It just, when you get that little tiny bit of water, it's like all the mountains turn this light, light green. And when you're searching in the desert, you notice it right away. And it's amazing what grows out there. It's just amazing.
No, it really is. We had a nice time out here this weekend, and I really got a chance to see some of the upcoming beauty for the summer. It's just going to be really, really hot. And I've said this so many times, I really do love three of the four seasons out of the year out here. Part of the summer is okay, but when it gets really, really cooking, and I know Dwayne has this up in Arizona, but he doesn't leave the house, so it doesn't really bother him. But if you do leave the house, it's really hot. I mean, it is, you know, in Arizona, it's even hotter than it is here. So at some point, you know, you almost have to stay inside. And I remember when I first moved to Las Vegas, I remember hearing on the news that it was such and such temperature today, and these people died because of heat. And I used to think, isn't that funny? People die because of just it being too hot.
Yeah.
But it does happen. I'm sure you have that out there, Dwayne, in your communities as well, where you have that people, you know, failing under the heat or not having adequate air conditioning in their house, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to be so careful with dehydration. You really have to drink.
Mm-hmm. So, what's your temperatures, Dwayne, out there?
It got warm yesterday. It was about 86, 87, I think, was the high, which is still very nice. I mean, the city parks, as we were driving home back from church, the city parks were just loaded with people. In fact, last night I made a run to the store about dark, and the closest city park to me was still just packed with people out having a good time, picnics. Everybody's got the little awning cabana type thing they put up now.
Uh-huh.
Those are really affordable at Walmart for, I think, 50, 60 bucks. You get a nice little shade deal going on, and, boy, those were just dotted all over the park, and cars were double parked on the streets. People are having a good time because they know what's around the corner. They know what's coming. What's coming is 110 degrees and 112, and on the really rough days, 118. So they're getting out there and enjoying it now while they can.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Arizona gets even hotter than we do out here. If you go to Arizona, you'll see what looks like puddles sometimes on a hot day. That's actually people. They've melted. And it's just, you just have to be careful not to step in it. Because that's where, just a little humor that the people had melted. All right, we'll move right along.
That's pretty funny.
Are you off your meds today?
I'm off my meds today.
Oh, I was going to say, you sound almost too normal today.
I know. I apologize.
Hey, guys, I put the link in the trading room for you and the chat room there so you can go and get yourself educated about the Bitcoin and figure out, you know, what your stand's going to be. But the link that I gave you, there is a little pictorial that goes along with it. And we'll view it as one page. And it really walks you through. It starts out with, what is money? How did it come to be? We've had this conversation in the past for different reasons, but this Bitcoin thing, it's really starting to take hold, and you can buy everything from pizza to, well, just about anything. When they say widely accepted, they're not kidding. And the price of it has just skyrocketed. When I first started watching Bitcoin, it was around it was trading at about $30 for one Bitcoin. One Bitcoin was $30, and then it collapsed down to like $7, and it's been back and forth, up and down, but it looks like it's here to stay. It's decentralized, distributed, voluntary. There's no central issuing or verification authority. There's no Bitcoin Corp. So this is how the Federal Reserve, the U.S. government, is not able to go after these guys, because it's illegal in America to create your own currency.
What is it? Is it legal out here or no?
Well, it is legal in that there's nothing anyone can do. Well, you know, there haven't been any legal challenges as of yet. It's a digital currency, and if you go, you can go to website, all kinds of websites, and you can pay with a Bitcoin. Now, how do you get a Bitcoin? Well, you either buy it on the open market and have them added to your account, or you can, this is what's interesting, there's like a mathematical problem equation that has to be solved. It probably tells it here. Okay, right here. How does Bitcoin work? Computers mine for it by cracking a predetermined encrypted program. This is quite a difficult task, which is what gives Bitcoin its inherent value. So you can either buy your Bitcoins, or you can set up your computer to solve or to crack this encrypted program. And each time somebody cracks it, then the next version of it becomes a little more difficult to crack. And then the next time it's a little more difficult to crack. So you can buy them or create or mine your own. It's based on the blockchain, a growing general public ledger of cryptographically signed transactions. All transactions are public, but are not by default tied to anyone's real identity. This is why it's being used to pay for some things on the internet that might not be legal, because your identity, you know, you're anonymous.
Who is accepting that now? You said a lot of people are accepting it.
Sure. Well, let's go take a look. Where can I? We'll Google, where can I spend Bitcoins? Or let's see. Let's try who accepts Bitcoins.
And how long has this been out, Dwayne? Because it's new to me.
Oh, it's. I've been following it for a couple of years.
Yeah, I've never
heard of it. That's the first I've heard you ever mention it.
Well, it's because I didn't know if it was going anywhere. I haven't been staring at it. I've been watching it sort of out of the periphery, you know,
sure,
off to the side. Places that accept Bitcoins. Let's see. XML Gold. I don't know what that is. Are these all places? I guess these are. I don't like that list. Let me find a better list. There's places you can buy pizza. You can call up and go online, order pizza. Some places you can.
So what? How is the? What's the taxical tax consequence?
I don't know, David. Where to spend your Bitcoins? For those who have bought or earned their first supply of Bitcoins, no matter how large or how small, the first question that often goes through people's minds is, what can I do with them? The Bitcoin community focuses heavily on the various ways that users can mine, buy, sell, or invest their Bitcoins, and it's easy to forget that one of the key purposes of any kind of currency is ultimately to be able to spend it. However, Bitcoin does have a substantial underlying economy with a growing number of merchants participating. BitPay alone has over 1,000 merchants using their payment processing platform. Let's click on that link. BitPay has 1,000 merchants, so this should give us an idea of 1,000 ideas, I suppose. Oh, let's see, your website, Bitcoin. Is there a list here?
Yeah, that is the first I've seen of that or of any site that I've been to that accepts Bitcoin.
I'm just looking for just a list. Featured merchants. Well, we'll go there. I'll come up. Well, you guys have the, let's see, here's software, hardware, IT, security. bullion dealers, servers, crowdfunding, bars and pubs. So, okay, you can spend it at a bar or a pub. Let's go have a look. Oh, I don't want to sign into Facebook right now. Publishing. Restaurant change. Oh, there's some restaurant chains.
So does this, what problem does this solve?
What problem does it solve? Well, if you are concerned with the American dollar or whatever currency you use is going to collapse, if you want something that is anonymous and not traceable, I suppose. Let's see. The distributed algorithm dynamically adjusts how much computing power it takes to find a valid block, limiting block creation to one block every 10 minutes. That's, what problem does it solve? Well, you know how some people say, well, they hoard gold because if the dollar collapses, gold will be real money. Well, these folks, I guess really the baseline argument there is that this is another type of currency not controlled by any central issuing organization or authority, and therefore should perhaps stand the test of time and retain their value. Again, I've been watching it for, as of 2012 November, one Bitcoin was worth $10.83. And as of this morning, it was up to $104. What can you buy with Bitcoins? U.S. dollars, weed, alpaca socks, computer stuff, you can buy a TV. And now chances are your card shark buddy would allow you to pay off your debt in Bitcoins. Bitcoin-denominated poker chips by Robert McNally. Check it out, guys. That link will get you started on your journey, and you can decide if it's value, if it's something that you need to, invest in, hoard up, save, have a few just to, at the next dinner party, you can say, I got a few Bitcoins put away. I don't know. But it's been around long enough, and the fact that it broke $100 today, now it's worth bringing out into the open and talking about because it doesn't appear to be going away. And it doesn't appear that the government has any way to shut it down or kill it. And I think that was some of the early concerns is that, the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve, will not stand for this. Apparently, the way it's designed and set up, they don't really have the authority to shut it down. So.
Very interesting.
So we'll see where it is. We'll keep an eye on it. We'll watch it. We'll follow it. And any of you guys who maybe – let me look in the chat box. Maybe somebody already owns a Bitcoin.
I never heard of them. I never heard of it.
Yeah, just, Google it. All the TechCrunch and all those guys, they've been following it for a while. In fact, it was – I'm trying to think. The first podcast I listened to, it wasn't TechCrunch – a couple years ago, but it was one of the real big mainstream tech TV. Oh, what's the name of that company? They got a million podcasts and they had a TV program. Anyway, I don't remember at the moment, but that's when I first heard about it. And it had been going on for quite a while when I first. Rick in the chat room says, all the techno geeks know about Bitcoin. Francis says the first target is now the next target is now $1,000. The tech guy, Leo Laporte, he talks about the Bitcoin, according to Francis. Mario says, I had put an order to purchase the chip and have still not received the mining rig. Okay, so Mario's going to mine his own. Mario says they are used in casinos. And Mario says that the France Mutual Bank plans to back the coins. There's a restaurant bar in Chicago that takes them. Taxi cabs in London now take them. And there's a back order on the mining machines. Oh, and Mario says that Amazon, there's talks that Amazon is going to buy Bitcoin. Mario, who would they buy it from? That guy Robert McNally, the one that came up with the algorithm? I don't know if that it's possible. That would be like saying, I mean, you can buy some U.S. dollars, but you can't buy all the dollars. And you can buy some gold, but you can't buy all the gold. So, Mario, you seem to know a lot about this, buddy. If you'd like to come on the show tomorrow, shoot me an email, support@cfrn.net. And you and I would love to have a conversation with you about this. You seem to know, you seem to be very well-versed. And, according to Francis, that 21 million bitcoins is the maximum number of bitcoins that will ever be in existence. So they've
said, yeah, I was going to mention that it seems like there would have to be some way of limiting. Otherwise, you would have these people with these mining machines devaluing the currency, essentially,
past
some certain point, if I understand it.
Yeah, 21 million is the max number that will ever be in existence. I mean, at some point, somebody's going to figure out how to counterfeit them. I don't know how that would work, but anyway. All right, you want to go to the markets?
Sure, that's very interesting stuff. Let's take a we can take a whirlwind tour and see what the markets have for us today. If you want, we'll start, Dwayne, with the S&P, as we usually do.
Sounds good.
You know, wish I had something new and different to add to the S&P, but the S&P remains not only very close to its all-time high, but also within a real narrow overall range. Today, the market pulled back to 1553, which is the, I believe, the lowest level in our support and resistance panel for the market to reach for today. They've tested that level. They're having sort of their initial bounce off of that level right now, and we'll see how the market handles this from here on. But the bigger picture still remains the same, that we are in a very, very powerful runaway bull market that I think you'd be wise to be very careful shorting other than intraday. I wouldn't mind the intraday shorts, but holding positions overnight I think would be less wise, because the market is not necessarily by any stretch done with the move up. Now, having said that, there's some levels that are important to us today. One of those is 1560.50, or maybe 1561, a daily close. Below that level is the weaker position, we think, coming into subsequent days for this week, you know, tomorrow, Wednesday, and so on, just short term. And we would then be interested, we'd be more interested in then buying that pullback than perhaps selling into it. But at one point, at some point, the market is going to begin the larger reversal. But I think it'd be wise to trade, if you're going to trade longer term on the long side, until that comes. And then, of course, people, well, then as soon as I put my position on, that's when it's going to come. You know, well, you can circle, you know, around in your own head 50 times thinking like that, but you're going to have to get past that kind of thinking in order to trade effectively. You know, you can actually end up picking the exact spots because there's a part of you that's almost out looking for them, being tempted by the market. That's why it's better to have a plan and understand what you're doing than to let the market dictate to you what to do. Because when it does dictate to you what to do, it tends to get you doing the exact wrong thing. And this is why it's good to understand a bit of what you're doing. You know, not to be sarcastic, but you know, it's a good idea to understand what the heck you're doing with the markets if you expect to make some gains from the markets. It takes practice. It takes an understanding of risk. Many people really don't understand what risk is. I wonder if people listening to this program now have an understanding of what it means to have risk. Have you ever thought about the term risk and what it means? The fact that it is virtually unknown at any given instant, and that it can be quantified, so to speak, in general terms, but even the hotel casinos that run their whole business on risk and risk management don't know in any given instant how bad that run of hands or that single hand is going to be for or against them. So we're sort of in the same position in the market, except that in the market we have other technical factors that come along that allow us to increase or decrease our bet according to better conditions that occur in the market, conditions where the probabilities appear to be substantially higher than normal. So
also worth mentioning again is that on Thursday we did have a new all-time record closing high in the S&P 500 cash market. New record all-time closing high. Now, does that mean we're overdue for a sell-off? It kind of does, kind of doesn't. And what David is saying here about being cautious about being too quick to get too short. Let me just quote from a real brief article here from Deutsche Bank this morning. Dips of 5% are inevitable, but they don't happen in absence of bad news or emerging risk. You're speaking about risk. Since 1960, the average number of trading days in between 5% plus dips is 118, and in between 10% plus corrections is 357 days. The standard deviation is 92 and 387 days, respectively. Hence, pullbacks aren't clockwork. Dips come on disappointment, which raises uncertainty that requires reassessment at the time. But dips aren't free. Only 3 years since 1960 have we gone without a 5% plus dip from the six-month high. That was in the year 1964, 1993, and 1995. So what would a 5% pullback look like in this market? Somebody who's really good with math, I think Michael's already gone. Hey, how about one of you guys in the chat room calculate for us what a 5% dip in the current S&P 500 cash market would look like? What price would that take us down to? Oh, Rich was quick, 78-point drop. That's what that would look like. Okay, let's go to a daily chart. 78 points. Thank you very much, Rich. Rick? Okay, this channel right here is 70 points. So it would put us just below this price channel right here. That's what it would look like, guys. Now let's go to a different chart. We can scale it out a little bit. ESM 3. Now this is the futures, not the cash market. So keep that in mind. I just wanted to go somewhere I could scale it a little bit. Okay, we can see this going back to November of last year. And so 78 points, we're sitting at 15. We're currently, we'll call it 56. So 1556 minus 78, give or take, would put us down at 1478, which would be right about here.
Right.
So it put us right at about this swing low right here, guys. And that would make perfect sense. That would fulfill the market's need, if you will, to have a 5% retracement. And if this pullback to this swing low held up, then this thing could go on for who knows? Who knows how long it could go on for? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was just reviewing this as you were saying. It's not only a daily, you had mentioned daily closing, all-time closing high on the cash. Mm-hmm. It also was the weekly closing high, highest week close. So the week of October 8 was the last one, 1561.80, and last week we did close at an all-time new high at 1569.19. So the market is, you know, there's no question we're testing in the S&P cash, the all-time high now, and testing the closing and The actual all-time high is 1576.09. We've not actually tested the high quite yet. We haven't quite gotten there, but we've gotten pretty close. We, like Dwayne said earlier, we have both a daily and a weekly closing high. So the next level above this is 1576.09. That's the all-time cash high. So we'll see if they can continue to pull it out. But this is a runaway market. I'd be very, like we've been saying, be very cautious on the short side of this. Intraday is probably fine, but if you're holding on the overnight, I think the surprises remain to the upside until they don't. And at that point, you can assess the situation anew. We've talked about that, you know, the psychology that people get into of wanting so badly to not miss the turn in something like this that they'll actually lose large amounts of points in attempting to get it right. And ultimately, even if they do get it right, they don't end up making any money on it, and they end up losing net-net because of the desire to not miss out. That desire to not miss out does not serve you very well in the markets. The desire to do things correctly, to understand what you're doing, to trade what you know and trade what you're capable of getting, that's something different. You know, a lot of people, you know, you ever heard people say, you know, you're playing a little out of your league? You know, that old saying, when people try to do something that they're not quite ready to do yet. And many people fall into that. We all do on some level. You try something that you're really not ready for, and you know, you're just not up to par yet. You can get up to par, but you're not there yet. And the market teases people into trying to be traders that they're not really ready to be yet, perhaps, or teases you into being a trader that you should never be, which is somebody who's always chasing, you know, in a runaway market, wanting to be in at the very top and that sort of thing. There's plenty of market movement that is very predictable. We've shown it with Reflected Wave for years and years and years on this program, how predictable the tops and bottoms are. Why not trade when the markets are trading in normal conditions? And when they're not trading in normal conditions, don't get tempted to be a hero. Just trade the stuff you understand. And that would be, in this type of market, buying pullbacks in an existing uptrend. That's the way to do it. And believe me, I know it's very difficult for people to do. It's very difficult for people to want to get on because they just can't believe it's going to go higher. Well, then don't trade it at all. That's fine, too. There's no downside to that. Just don't trade this market at all. Wait until it trades better and then take advantage of the market. But don't get hooked into trading just to try to, you know, be a Superman or play out of your league or whatever. Like, you should know very well what your league is in trading. And if you don't know what your league is, then you better figure it out, because otherwise you're going to be trying to do things that you're not ready for yet. And that can be a costly, unnecessarily costly, to do that. So I think that's a big part of what learning in trading is all about, is learning what you're not yet ready for and figuring out what you can actually do. You know, what are you really capable of taking out of the market? What can you actually do? Excuse me. And I used to say this on the radio a lot. What do you actually know? What can you actually say, I know this about the market? And all of us have something that we know. And then the question is what can I do with what I know? What can I actually do? Not in my dream world, not on paper, not after the fact. What can I actually do in the markets? And you know what? Whatever it is, whatever you can actually do, great. That's a good start. That's a great start. Whatever it is that you can actually do, you can grow from there. But you better know what you can actually do, because then if you don't, you're living in the dream world and trying to convince yourself and others that you're potentially at a level that you may not be at yet in many cases. You can get to that level, but in order to get to that level, you have to be very upfront about where you are now and build from there. And by coming clean about that and just building from that level, trading at your own comfort zone and all and so on, will allow you to step up, and you'll know the right time. You know, the bird knows when to start flying, when it gets out of the, you know, out of the nest, and the tiger knows when to go chase something to go finally try to do its first kill. I mean, these are ugly analogies, of course, but you know, it becomes pretty natural. You'll get the feelings that, hey, I can do this. I can do this one thing pretty good. Let me see what I can do now. Let's step that up a little bit, whatever. That's grow incrementally. Let your success determine your growth. That will lead to continued success. But and sometimes that success comes in big leaps. Sometimes you take a big leap and you're just there.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's absolutely the truth. Absolutely the truth.
Now, interestingly,
be honest with yourself.
Yeah, this pullback right here, the one we talked about, the 5%, the overall 5% potential sell-off in the S&P 500 to line up with that rule would put us, we created this little horizontal line right here to represent roughly, give or take, that 78-point sell-off, 5% correction. Well, if we look left at that swing low from the beginning of this leg back in November to the most recent high, that would be a 38% retracement. So you got so many things coming together there. Now, does that mean we're going to sell off down to this level? No, but if we do, then there's a very good chance of it holding. At least the market, you know, has good reason, not only a swing low, a 38% retracement, it fulfills the 5% deal. So just something to keep in mind going forward, because I think we will see some lower prices ahead, but I don't think the bull is done. Always trade with a hard stop, and you don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. So, you know, that's it for the S&P with us. So we love the market. It hasn't been the greatest market for day trading and for swing trading as it used to be, but it certainly has, you know, rocked and rolled its way all the way back up to very close to the all-time high on the futures market, and very close to the all-time high on, of course, like we said, we've last week had the highest weekly close all time, but we haven't yet quite touched the all-time high that we made back in 08 or 07.
Yeah.
So
right.
we'll see how that plays out in the days to come here. But, yeah, I like the idea of buying pullbacks in this market. Let them show it to you. Let them firm up at important levels and then buy it. And if you're not comfortable doing that, don't do it. You know, there you are. Some people feel like they have to have some other way out other than just not doing anything. They have to have some action they take. No, sometimes not taking an action is maybe that's the right thing for your situation.
And there's so many other markets that you can trade.
Absolutely. There's so many other markets that you can trade. Don't get into a battle with the S&P 500 or any market. Let them come to you and let them show you what you need to see, and you'll be just fine. If you'll do that. As soon as you find yourself starting to chase and force yourself, you can say to yourself, hey, I'm chasing and I'm forcing. This is, and I'm sure Robin goes through this with her clients where she has that discussion with them, mm-hmm. which is that you're trying too hard. You're making this way, way too hard. You're chasing. You're trying to turn something that isn't a trade into a trade. You know, let that go. It should be a lot easier and a lot more obvious than that.
Yeah, I call it pushing.
Yeah.
You're pushing it. You're trying to make something happen that's not there. And the market is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Is what it is. So the goal of any trader is just to evaluate the market for the reality of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing more, nothing less. Be in the, especially if you're day trading and you're in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's move on. We'll go over quickly to gold. And the gold's been real quiet as well. We have a number of potential setups on gold that are lining up. I'm okay, actually, for me. Yeah. let's see here. We were going to... Yeah, this week is fine. Today... I'm sorry about that. You know, we have people that come to our office. Maybe some of you are in an office complex that many of them are not necessarily legal. They may not be in the country legally, but they're looking to do some work. They're looking to do some work. And, you know, I don't know their status, but they're looking to do some work. And what they do is they go around and they wash people's cars. And they can actually do a pretty good business doing it. Well, it's almost become a comedy. mm-hmm. over here at our office because we have some people that keep getting caught and deported, and then they come back and they disappear for months at an end, and then they reemerge in front of our office ready to wash our car again.
Yeah, that's me with the palm trees.
Yeah,
palm trees.
They've come back. They've come back into the United States again, and they're ready to clean your car. So, you know, I appreciate the fact that they're trying to do some work and, you know, whatever it is, and we use them all the time. And yet they've disappeared over the many years that we've been here. They've come and gone many times. We finally asked them, you know, one of the guys who speaks pretty good English, we said, what happens? Will you guys disappear for months at a time? And we ended up using somebody else, whatever. He goes, yeah, deported. Okay.
Really?
All right. I see. So then you somehow get back to the United States, and they do, and they come back to our office complex and clean
cars. Isn't that something?
So it's almost funny that that's just how the system works. But they do want to work. They are willing to work. They show up. So, you know, we employ them. So, you know, I suppose a person could say, well, what if an American who needed a job came to your front door and wanted to wash your car? And I'd say, great, go ahead.
Yeah.
You can wash it. You know?
Yep. Yep, yep.
So.
You can, I'm not saying you will, but you can be arrested for employing undocumented workers.
Yeah. It can happen.
Can't imagine somebody, you know, showing up and arresting you for letting a guy wash your car, but that's something that, you know, employers here in Phoenix in particular have been reminded of by Sheriff Joe, because there have been raids and there have been, and this wasn't one guy washing a car. This was like a landscaping company or some other type of company.
Yeah, that's where you're actually employing people. There's a difference between subcontracting somebody's work and employing them legally.
Yeah.
And you're not making that distinction here. I can't be arrested for employing somebody to wash my car. Somebody who has an employer identification number, who employs people and is employing people, he can be arrested. But I'm simply subcontracting somebody's services, like a plumber. And if the plumber shows up at my house and he happens to be an illegal alien, they're not arresting me.
That's right.
I don't know this guy's status. I'm not supposed to know his status.
No.
If he's employed by me under my Social Security and my employer ID number, then I'm supposed to know his status. Well, I don't know that as a subcontractor.
Once you cross that $600 threshold, then I think you're required to find out that information. I don't know the fine points of the law.
Yeah,
you're right.
And I'm just not going to have any. Hopefully, I don't have any cars that need a $600 car wash.
Well, that's in a calendar year, so I don't know if you pay him $20 a pop. I mean, but anyway, it's really a moot point.
I know what you're saying. You're just.
Yeah, I'm just talking.
But no. It's a serious subject out here as well. Employing and the hotels and the whole business. You know, they have to go through their whole thing and make double sure that people are. But you know what? It's a very sophisticated industry now. They have all kinds of ways of showing that they are legal and proving that they're legal when they're not. I happen to have, you know, very good firsthand information of that kind. So there you are. You know, I've said this before, but I hate to say it because it sounds so anti-conservative, but I'm at the point where I'm actually concerned with the way things are going and I'm not even concerned about it. I'm actually, in a sense, encouraged that illegal aliens may be one of the last few hopes we have for revitalizing America, because these people don't have the sense of entitlement that apparently about a little more than half our population does right now. And, you know, when apathy takes over, dictatorship is not far behind, as you've said, or whoever that person you were quoting was, Dwayne. You know, these people, they do want to make a way for themselves. They do want to work. They're not saying, I want to be here free. I want to work. I want to carry my load and so on. And yet we have equal number of people who are just too happy to do nothing and be on the government dole. You know what my plan is? If I was king, if you don't work, you don't eat. That's my plan. How are you doing?
Yep.
You know, period. And if there's a reason you can't work, that's fair enough. But I'll tell you this. I used to have a company here in Las Vegas that this really opened my eyes to this many, many years ago, where we sold a product that could be refurbished if a person returned it after purchasing it. And we brought it to Opportunity Village, where people who had limited emotional and intellectual capability for whatever reason, but they were able to work. They were able to go in and do work, and they did an absolutely stellar, unbelievably great job of managing the situation that we presented them with, because all these different companies would use them for these various things. If these people can do it, then there's a lot of people who aren't working who need to be out there helping the economy, because if you're not helping, you're hurting. That's the position I'm coming from. I'm not talking about retired people. I'm talking about people who are capable of working, that are just on the lam or whatever, you know, doing the full entitlement thing, not looking for a way to carry their load, and letting the government continually vote more checks into their pocket. And that's not how we got here. That's not how America got to be great. That's how Europe got to be where it is, though. That's how Spain got to be where it is. But, you know, you can hang somebody's future right in front of their face, just like in our, you know, view, we have it here with Europe and Spain. It's hung right in front of our face. Here is your future. This is what it will look and feel like if you don't clean up your act. And it still doesn't make any difference. You know, that's why, you know, it doesn't matter what you show people. They're going to do what they want to do, and the mood of apathy and being comfortable with overspending and continuously increasing overspending and overtaxing and over you know, regulating and on and on and on. Okay, fair enough.
Now, you know, I'm the first to admire the work ethic of many immigrants. Most of us who call ourselves Americans can trace our roots back to Ellis Island at some point. I'm a Native American. However, as a nation, we can't simply turn a blind eye to the drag on our economy because of all the entitlement programs that embrace and fund and compensate the lifestyle of people who have come to this country illegally. And now, believe me, I don't want to see anyone have to live in poverty-stricken conditions or under a dictator or any of those horrible things, you know, or just plain go hungry, sure, you know, like in Africa. I don't want to see that. But I also know that if we're going to maintain America and maintain the standard of living that America is known for, something has to be done to fix this problem. That it's a very real problem. We've turned a blind eye to it for a long time.
Yeah.
And part of the reason California is in the mess it's in,
of course,
is you can trace it right back to that very problem. So do I have the answer and the solution? No, I don't.
No, it is. No doubt about it. And California does and can trace its problems back. And for those of you that may not know, California is hopelessly bankrupt, can never come out of their condition. They have no way of paying back all the money they owe. They're near $30 billion upside down. They just raised their state income tax. I think their state income tax is inching in on 10% now. If you're comfortable, you know, paying your federal tax and then paying an additional 10% to live in California, that's fine. You know, I hope you have a nice time. California is beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful food, beautiful culture, all that stuff. But they're hopelessly bankrupt. I wouldn't buy a county or municipal bond from California if my life depended on it. So,
but people are still doing real estate, and people are still gravitating there. I mean, I just
absolutely. There's a difference between people being attracted to the place and the place being hopelessly bankrupt. They're a microcosm of the government type of spending, where you spend more than you take in as a practice, and you have to keep raising taxes. Then ultimately, people say, "I've had enough of this," and they start moving out. And California hasn't reached that point quite yet. Although there have been companies that have moved, et cetera, they haven't quite reached the point yet where they've driven everyone out because of the taxes and the expenses. But it's very expensive to live there. There's no question about it.
Oh, yeah.
I just worry about their financial condition, because there's no way they can ever pay that out unless they get some kind of a government-funded bailout. I don't know what it would be. But California, it would be mathematically impossible for them to pay off their debt at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are.
I guess when the roads break and the bridges start to fall and that kind of stuff happens where they can't fund that. Where does it break?
It breaks when finally they just cannot fund a whole bunch of the stuff, policemen and everything else. They just don't have it to fund anymore. They just run out of money. But they are out of money. That's the thing.
Well, that's how they're doing it now. I don't understand.
It becomes a Ponzi scheme because new money continues to come in, and that's paying off the current debt, but the old debt is continuing to grow and so on and so on. And finally, it just collapses. You know, credit cards, you know, we've talked about this before. The whole business of credit cards, it's the easiest thing in the world to get in trouble with a credit card. Everyone's done it. And that when you're a government, you have the credit card of the good faith and credit of everyone who's a taxpayer. And you can, you know, racking up debt becomes very, very easy to do. And that's what they've done. And there are some states that do the exact opposite. They manage their debt very well. They manage what they and all those places have states, and they have roads, and they have bathrooms, they have police, they have fire. They have everything they need, but somehow they don't have all that debt. So it's a bunch of crap, excuse me, when California tells you they need all this extra money because they need to fund the firemen and the police. I've got 15 states across America I can show you that have extremely little debt. They have beautiful fire, beautiful police, beautiful roads, beautiful schools, beautiful infrastructure, beautiful universities, and they're not in debt. So it's a bunch of nonsense. Mm-hmm. You spend more than you take in because you're an idiot and don't know how to manage money. That's why you do it, because that's what idiots do. And that's what they're doing. But they, no, we would need all that money for this and for this and for this. Well, I've got 15 states that are right here that can do all that and not have all the debt you have. So there's something doesn't add up there. So, and that's what's happening in California. You know, I'd be very careful owning any municipal bonds in California. These municipal bonds are counties and such that tell you that we'll pay you this money back over a period of time, and they base that on their ability to tax. And I certainly hope they can pay that back to whoever buys them. But that's an economy that is extremely, every day is getting closer and closer to the edge where something really big is going to break. You don't hear them talking about it, but it wasn't that long ago where Arnold Schwarzenegger was issuing IOUs because they just didn't have the money to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So
true story.
Anyway, I would like to see him do a better job of managing that. I don't know how big of a problem it was when he got in, and I don't know what he did and all that stuff. But, there you are.
I have some big news on soda and Zynga when you guys are ready.
Okay. Well, we'll zip through this real quick here, Duane. Okay. Let's move on to
a couple other ones. You just tell me when.
Generally speaking, we're bullish on gold, but we don't have a position in it other than our longer-term position right now, and we'll continue to talk about that. We have some dates coming up that are going to be important. The bond market, as you know, we've been calling for months for a February bottom in the bond market, and March made a slight new bottom. I'm bullish on bonds. I like the idea of finding any buy signal in bonds any legitimate buy signal. Don't turn something that isn't one into one.
You and Uncle Sam, I can see you now with the red, white, and blue and the top hat, buy U.S. bonds.
Buy U.S. bonds, right, exactly. I'm Uncle Sam. This is for what might end up being one of the last rallies. I don't know for sure, but for a move up to the 149 level, which we've talked about many times. This is multi-month, but I think you could be looking for buy signals from this point forward in the U.S. Treasury bond market. I like that. I can't be more specific than that right now, but we like the long side. We think the time has run out on the downside. The euro and the dollar, you know, we had called for the dollar to be putting in a top on the program around March 27th or 28th based on reflected wave. The dollar is declining now today. This is just a very normal reflected wave top with a reversal. And the euro, which runs counter to that, is putting in a very important bottom and advancing off of that. So that's a good example of those two markets running together, which they often do. Let's see. And then We're continuing to watch crude oil. As you know, we had had a three-leg forecast or a four-leg forecast, a roadmap for crude back on December 3rd, and three of the four legs occurred, but the last leg down that we were expecting did not occur. The market was able to break out on the upside. We think that bodes for higher prices in crude oil, potentially sharply higher. So we're looking for buying pullbacks. If you want, we are giving dates out for the date of the pullback. And if you'd like to call in and take a listen into our weekly, three times a week meeting where we are, it's sort of an institutional thing for our institutional customers, you can listen in on that and get the details on crude oil and where we think it's going during the pullback it's in, what date to buy, and so on. You might want to check that out. It could be interesting to hear because these are people that are taking really, really large positions, in many cases millions and millions of dollars worth, based on some of these setups and forecasts, whether they're in stocks or whether in the commodities and so on. So call in. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-231-4702, if you'd like to check that out. You can listen in and see if it's something interesting to you. Other than that, the crude oil, of course, again, I think we are probably going to be seeing higher prices, but we have not issued a direct signal yet. One of the other things I think of importance that I wanted to mention is you might want to keep your eye on the Australian dollar. We gave some information. I can't, unfortunately, give the information out right now because we gave it out in the institutional, but you might be looking on the long side of the Australian dollar. You might be considering that over the next several days here. So keep that in mind, and we'll talk about that a little bit more. That's something that if you do come to the meetings, you can check that out because we will be addressing that with specific dates and price levels and that sort of thing. So the Australian dollar, by the way, for those of you who have reflected wave, is based on a reflected wave bottom that they are putting in and a date and this, the whole thing. And so you'll get that information if you do come to the meeting if you don't have reflected wave. And, Dwayne, I think right now for today that's just about everything. Markets are, you know, we've had some movement, but they're pretty quiet overall. Mm-hmm. There's a few other little things I'm sure we could talk about, and we will if you wanted to address the soda. And
okay. First I want to address Zynga.
Okay.
I'm going to be closing my Zynga. And I'm closing it before my stop that I had. I don't like the way it's reacting right here. I have been doing some reading on what's going on there. The consensus is that it will be something to look at in the future as the online trading comes on board. However, they're looking at it at 2014, 2015, that it's a little ways out. I'll keep it on my radar, but I won't be in the trade any longer, and I'm going to close that trade, but I'm not going to close it today on a down day. It's down 15 cents today. So I'm not going to close it today. I'll wait for a little bit more of an up day, and I do have a stop much, much closer to where I am right now. I got my stop at about, I think I got it at 315. So okay. if it does come down, I'll clip it. If not, I'll wait for the up day and see if I can, you know, just
so
close
what,
it. At a bit. I don't like to close on a down day.
What led to you changing your mind from the
just
you put
just
in?
The bigger move today? You know, it's only 4%, but it's not on a lot of volume, and I've been doing some reading on some research on what's been happening since the 11th. So, you know, it's been on the down move there. And, I mean, it could settle out right here. That's why I'm going to watch it another day, one more day. And it looks like it tried to fill a gap back in February. It might try to do that at the 320. I think it did hit 320 today. And so right now is a very critical stage as far as I'm concerned. And, I just don't want to – it's not doing what I would like to see in a stock. I don't know if it's my gut feel or between the news and filling the gap and then just not having anything to give it some oomph. It's a $3 stock. So you're not going to get a big move out of it unless something pushes it. And so then when I take a look at sodas, is the other extreme. The soda is really good. I like the way soda looks. I like the way it bounced off. I like the way it's up today. Nice.
You like the way it tastes?
I don't drink it, but I watch the stock. I know that there's so many people that are stuck on it. I love the fact that it got through that 50 because that's where I was watching it on that. It was going a little sideways, and when it got through that 50 today and had a nice little move up there, I was like, I kind of like this. And my next level is going to be 52, and then the next level I'm going to watch after that is just around, I think it's 54, that high. So it's got to break through those two. I'm looking back, but I like I feel that stock much stronger than I feel the Zynga right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm out of Zynga, going to be out of Zynga soon, which is within the next day or so, and I'm going to be taking a look at the soda.
Okay.
I like the soda.
I would just, if I was going to throw anything in on Zynga, under normal conditions, I would expect the week of April 8th, next week, to mark a bottom in the stock. And I don't have all the price levels laid out, but there are some critical ones that I'd want to see them stay above during that period. And I believe they will probably stay above those
that's
levels.
Like I said, I'm not rushing out right this second.
Sure.
But it's right at this point that I'm going to make a decision. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like right
now
is...
No, there's nothing wrong with what you're thinking about doing. You're managing your trade, which is everything that you should be doing.
Yeah.
And if there's levels that you're not comfortable with, you can always re-enter later.
Yeah, exactly.
And, one trade doesn't have to, connect. It doesn't have to be a beautiful story from start to end. It can be, I didn't like this trade and I got out and then I got right back in and I like this trade. It doesn't all have to connect into one beautiful story to make you feel like, you've got this beautiful story.
Yeah, that's a great point. A lot of people feel that, once they hang up, it's done.
Right.
And I don't know why that is, but people have that finality in their mind when they close a trade and you can always get back in. So if it cost me $7 on my account there, so what?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's worth it if you have the conviction.
Price is right on top of the 50 and the 200 period moving average right here. So that's a very good place for potential support. And if we could take out in tomorrow or any time this week, if we take out Thursday's high. That would be bullish, and so, like I say, if you get out, you can always get back in.
Right, and like I said, right now I'm not doing anything. I'm just very, very conscious of it right now. Usually I kind of leave it for a couple of days, don't worry. Now I'm really watching it like a hawk, and so I want to see what it does right at this moment versus the soda, which I just think looks fabulous.
So, Dave, you were talking about some options you bought on Intel a while back. Whatever happened with that?
Let's take a look at Intel. We had sold options, not purchased, but sold options off of the one-week early reflected wave bottom week of February 19th. I believe we may have sold as many as 100 of them. I'm not exactly sure of the number, between 70 and 100 of them. And we were doing it, as I mentioned back on that week, as a not so much a price appreciation. In other words, we weren't looking for prices to increase dramatically, but we were looking for the market to have a multi-week up movement, which would then allow our time decay, which is a function of options when you sell them, to kick in. And so that is now 6 weeks ago. So we have the goodness out of that deal. We may even be close to being out of that, out of those options. I can double check with Dane and see what where we are on them. But this was that's the whole story on it. Just that we've had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is our sixth week up off of the week of February 19th reflected wave bottom. And the options just decayed. And again, this is options are not, you're not going to go in and say, I'm going to go, day trade options as an example.
Right.
What you're really doing with these options is you're putting on a background position kind of that runs in the background. And while you're doing your other trading, if you have other trading that you're doing, This is working for you. This is back there in the background working for you, and gives you the opportunity to have a payday later. It's not all going to happen in 1 or 2 days. In this particular case, we're now in our 6th week from when I first mentioned this on the radio program. And we're holding on, and I'll find out today from Dane how much of that position we have left. But this is just a good example of how we utilize options. All we're really doing, it's the simplest strategy, is waiting for important tops and bottoms to get put in, reflected wave tops and bottoms, and selling time premium against those tops and bottoms. And in this particular case, I was, as those who were listening on that date, you'll recall, I was a little uncomfortable with our early entry because we got in on the 1 week early, not on the on-time week. So it happened to work out in our favor this time. But I was for waiting a little bit further into the next week just to see how the week opened and so on. And had we done that, we would have been a little bit less profitable, but still, for the most part, just about as much profit as we had. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes by waiting, you leave quite a bit on the table. So that's basically it. I mean, that's our whole intel thing. I don't have anything new, any new information to add to it, other than that's the same position that we're holding.
There's a question on natural gas. Got anything there?
Let's see. Well, the last thing we had in natural gas was a really big call that we had made. At one point, we probably made it on the radio program, but it really was for institutional people, and that had to do with looking for a full 100-point move in natural gas, which we got up from the recent January-February bottom. As of today, excuse me, all of the people that were in that move are out of it. That was a multi-monthed move, but it had a really big explosive move up, and we're out of it. And we're waiting for another signal in natural gas. It could go much further. They've done nothing wrong on the downside. Today in our institutional meeting, we had some questions relating to natural gas as well, and we're not doing anything with it right now. The last turning point top that we had forecast for it was for March 28th. Anybody with reflected wave knows about the March 28th top, and today they began the sell-off from that. So I don't have anything new to add to it just now. But for those of you who might have an interest, we had some tricky behavior in this market because we had originally believed the market was going to set up with slightly lower prices. We were looking for the market to get down to 298, and I think it got down in that contract set to like 308. It missed the number, and it missed it by big enough that it had me scratching my head. So we weren't able to get in timing-wise where we wanted to because we didn't have the actual price level that we wanted to see. So it forced us to get our people long from around March 7th. So if you take a look at your natural gas chart going back to March 7th, that's where we went long on March 7th, and the remainder of that move is what we ended up getting. So we didn't get the full move that was forecast, but it was a worthwhile move trading.
What month are you in right now on natural gas?
We're in May right now. I think you're okay there, Dwayne, in May if you're...
What have I got, GNGF? Is that correct?
I think that might be
right.
January, that might be... next year. I'm not even sure if that's this year or not.
There we go. Thanks, Ed. There we go. Okay, that changes everything.
So they've had a very, very good directional, straight line, classic breakout type of move, which is what we expected, but we just couldn't get in until the 7th because of we would have liked to have gotten in down at 298 and really had a home run trade. It ended up being a good trade, though, and we're all out of it now waiting. So we don't have anything new just yet on natural gas.
All righty.
Yeah, that's about it. And I think for us, Dwayne, I don't think there's anything else really cooking today. A little difficult to get a perfect trend line on there, but that'll do.
Yep.
Or channel.
That'll work. So we're back to the middle of it, basically. Well, we were earlier today. Now we kind of rallied a little bit on the day, but that's about it.
Yeah, all the natural gas market also, by the way, does have options. They operate a little differently. I mean, technically they're the same, but options in different commodities do act differently. So as an example, crude oil options might lose a lot of their puff and premium quicker than they do in the S&P and so on. So you'd be wise before you sell options in these markets to get a little bit more knowledge, watch how they trade, because options in individual markets have their own characteristics, even though they're all based on the Black-Scholes, you know, I mean, essentially speaking, that's how they work. But the way they play out in real time is often quite different in different markets. So even though they all have time decay and they all have this and they all have that, the way that they put it all together can be surprisingly different. So as an option seller, you would want to know that, and as an option buyer, you would definitely want to know that type of information. So. And I think, Dwayne, that's just about everything we've got. We've had another really quiet day here in the S&P. As we've been talking here, the market's been very, very calmly trading.
I wanted to mention about Coach's Corner on Friday. We're going to be doing the power of language and thought, and kind of how that works in with your trading, and you know how you think when you're supposed to be when you're trading, and what kind of thoughts you're having, and what that actually does. So it's called The Power of Language and Thought, and that's Friday at Coach's Corner at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. And then I will see you then. And I have a couple quotes for today when you're ready.
Okay, let's
go ahead.
Okay, these are for those people who are transitioning from a regular job to full-time trader, and you know who you are. So these are view risk and opportunity for reward. And so here we go. It says, fortune favors the brave. Why not go out on the limb? Isn't that where the fruit is? And then I am willing to put myself through anything. Temporary pain or discomfort means nothing to me as long as I can see that the experience will take me to a new level. I am interested in the unknown, and the only path to the unknown is through the breaking barriers and often a painful process. So I just want to wish those people great success and courage. Having the courage to do that is fabulous, and you will find that your whole life will change once you make that transition and you have a plan and you set forth your plan. And everything will amazingly come together.
There you are.
All righty. That sounds great. Thank you, Robert, for sharing those.
And lunch today. Mm-hmm. I'm reminding David, lunch today.
Okay. Oh, yes. I will be there.
Okay. I will see you at the Shushi Bar.
All right. Thank you very much, Robert.
1:30. Have a great day, everybody. And thank you, Dwayne and David, for having me and Michael,
of
course.
Thank you, Robin and Dwayne.
All right, guys. Have a great afternoon. I'll see you both back here tomorrow.
Okay, beautiful. Thanks so much. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
I didn't notice what time it was. All I know is that I fell in love with you. And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day in love with you.
All right, guys, that's going to pretty much do it for us. Got a tweet going out here momentarily. You can follow us, twitter.com/CFRN. The video that I put out over the weekend, that five-minute video that took 49 minutes to finish, it is available on the blog, and it is available right down here. Underneath all those charts, right here, just click it and go. And again, right here, this link, okay, this iTunes link, either one of those, if you click that, you can go subscribe to the podcast. Now, you don't have to have an iPhone or an iPad. You can run iTunes on your PC, and you can subscribe to a podcast on your PC. iTunes is a great way to manage all of your digital files, music, videos, television programs, whatever they might be. So the software iTunes is very powerful and very free. Subscribing to our podcast is also free. If you subscribe to the podcast, send me an email that says, "Hey, Duane, I subscribed to the podcast, and I left a review." Now, if you leave a review, you'll get your name in the hat to win the iPad Mini twice. If you just subscribe, that's one ticket. Subscribe and leave a review, two tickets, okay? And just click the link, all right? Okay. Now, what is it about, what is it that I find of interest here? Well, I'll tell you a couple things. Powerful sell-off, okay? And then this wick, it's sticking up here. Now, actually in this context, that wick could be just a bullish continuation move. So, my tweet is going to reflect that, because it's going to say, consider being short below 1554 if the opportunity presents. Okay? Because it may not. We may be headed back up here to test the weekly trading zone, and partners know exactly where that's at. If we go back, test the zone, and consolidate, I will then be issuing a tweet that says, previous tweet, not triggered, disregard. Okay, that's if it doesn't trigger. It'll say, previous tweet did not trigger, disregard. New trade idea is, and I'll present a either or scenario. Okay, if it goes above this number, you want to be long. If it goes below this number, you want to be short. Now, this is in. I'm on a journey to demystify the markets for you. Okay. Everybody tries to make you think it's this mysterious thing. And by everybody, I just mean, you know, the internet in general. All right? It's not. It's not easy, okay, but it's kind of simple. Doesn't make it easy, just that it's kind of simple, which can make it frustrating when you realize that it's simple, but it still gives you a hard time, okay? So when I put out a tweet that says, hey, you want to be long above this number, short below this number, some people go, well, God, it sounds like he doesn't know what's going to happen. I don't have a crystal ball. Here's the thing. The market is a reflection of the actions taken by traders around the globe. Retail traders, institutional traders. It's that butterfly flapping his wings in the Amazon forest. You never know what some trader on the other side of the world is going to do. He may put on a trade. He may take off a trade. And he might be a one-contract trader. But you know what? That one contract could flip a trigger in some other guy's mind who trades 10,000 contracts at a whack. And that can start a chain reaction. So that's why I shy away from predicting the unknown. Some people do a very good job at that, okay? And I admire that. But I know it's not my forte, so I don't go there. I deal with what I can understand. And if you go back and look, let me get this thing out before it triggers on me. Hang on one second. Now, there's been a lot of requests to get the tweets into your inbox as email. I really had to go through. I finally found a third-party service. It's interesting. Twitter will send it to your smartphone as a text message, no problem. You just go into your Twitter account and say, hey, I want to get the CFRN tweets sent straight to my smartphone, and it'll do it. Why they don't have a built-in email thing, I don't know. But I found a third-party app, and if you watch the video, it reveals the third-party and how you can go and how you can do the deal. So anyway, let me just put this in. Consider being short below 54 if the opportunity presents. Now, you probably go, if you're looking left, you go, well, wait a minute, you're going to get short 54? That's just like right above this. Aren't you a little concerned about that? I am and I'm not, because this pullback here, this swing low, it's significant. And if you're thinking that, good for you. And you might want to trade accordingly based on that. But see, from where I sit, this pullback was a pullback on a journey to somewhere lower, okay, down to the next weekly zone. So getting back below this candle here, that's what's critical for me. But I want to get at least a couple points below it, and I want to get below this little trend line right here. So that's why I'm using that particular number. So, but if you want to, you know, you can go back. I put it on, number one, Twitter is a historical timeline. And I talk about this in the video. I said, hey, you're watching this video, you don't know me, and you're wondering, why in the world should I believe what this guy, or trust what this guy has to say? Well, if you don't know me, if you haven't hung out with me, if you haven't listened to the broadcast for the last 8 years, well, you should have healthy skepticism. You should have healthy skepticism about most things that have to do with the market. All right? But Twitter is a public timeline. You can go back and you can see the tweets over the last couple of years. You can see the historical charts, and you can see that you could have picked up, you know, a little pocket change had you been a person who, you know, was trading the tweets. Do we always get it right? No. No, we don't. Sometimes the market does not do what we expect. But for the most part, we do pretty good. But again, you don't have to take my word for it. You can go back and just, you know, wander through the tweets and have a look and decide if it's something that might. And again, a tweet is, and I talk about this in the video, it's simply a trade idea. It's what I'm seeing in the market. And I think it's important enough that I want to share it with those who are part of this community and those who follow along and those who have an interest. Okay? Whether or not you'll be able to actually turn that into a profitable, I can't promise you that. I can certainly have high hopes for you. Let's see. Jonathan just typed something in. Jerry says possible bear flag. Yeah, exactly. That was the other thing I wanted to point out, was that not only was it the wick, but this sharp little move here, you're correct, Jerry, that is a bear flag. Let's see what else is in here. Jonathan, great quote. Jonathan says, I know it's going to do one or two things. It's either going to go up and break the last high, or it's going to go down and break the last low. Book it, Dano. Well said. That is exactly what's going to happen. There are very few absolutes in trading, but I can guarantee you with absolute certainty that price is either going back up here to this weekly trading zone, and today's only Monday, so I can't put them out on the screen today. Price is either going back to this trading zone for more consolidation, or it's going down to this trading zone. It's going to do one or the other, guaranteed, as long as the markets continue to trade, Jesus doesn't come back first, then that's what's going to happen. In trading, because there are so few absolutes, when you can find an absolute, that's powerful. Okay, I'm not saying my tweet's powerful. I'm just saying anytime there's an you can absolutely define an equation and go, okay, either this is going to happen or this is going to happen. All right, now all you got to do is figure out which one's happening. And then be a part of that. Not about you beating the market. If you have that kind of thought process running around in your head, I'm going to kill the market, I'm going to beat the market, I'm going to show them. Wow. You know, that's a tough journey. The market's big. It's really, really big. With a lot of big people in deep pockets. And it's so much easier. See, a lot of folks view the market as an adversary, okay? Maybe if you could view the market as your business partner, okay? Together, the market and I, we're going to go get a couple points today. The market is going to provide the points, and I'm going to clip them, take them, deposit them, grab them, whatever terminology you like to use. Anybody got any questions? Jonathan, you got anything you want to say? You can pop in if you want. You know, people want you to come regularly once a week. Oh, hey, Jonathan, this guy, did you hear me at the beginning of the show talk about the guy that's traveling America? He's leaving LA today with a $10,000 account. He's a Forex trader, but still, this is very interesting. And he's going to travel America from town to town, meet traders, hang out with people, and he's going to survive off the money he makes from trading his $10,000 account. So, Jonathan, I'm going to try to – I've already been in touch with him this morning. He texted me as he was leaving LA, and then his publisher, I just sent him an email, and I'm waiting to hear back from him. He's going to be in Phoenix tomorrow, I think, or the day after. And I want to get together with him for coffee and just kind of map out how we can map his journey, how we can stay on top of it. I want to see if he's willing to call into the show. I'd love for him to call in daily, if just for 5 minutes. Hey, I'm in this town, and I met this guy, and we traded together a little bit. And I know, Jonathan, you would absolutely love that. And yes, Jerry, you nailed it, buddy. I haven't revealed the name yet. I'm waiting till I get him on here and introduce him officially. But very good, Jerry. So this is going to be interesting. And I think we're going to all enjoy it. And I know we're going to learn something from this. Okay? So I'm excited. And so, Jonathan, once I set up the coffee deal, Jonathan can't come on today, guys, because he's at the office. But, Jonathan, are you – I put you down for lunch or coffee once I get this set up as he's coming through Phoenix? Oh, that's a capital yes with four exclamation points. Yeah, that's what I thought, Don. It's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm just – I can't believe I didn't think of it. Maybe it's because I have a wife and kids that I couldn't just strike out on the road and, you know, do the deal. But, you know, I do know a guy. My wife and I know a guy. We met many years ago in Quartzsite, Arizona. We were at a swap meet, and we had just bought a suit of armor to put in our church, you know, put on the whole armor of God. Yeah, we had bought a suit of armor at a swap meet at Quartzsite, and we met this guy who traveled America on a bicycle with a dummy. A real dummy, a ventriloquist. Oh, I never did put that tweet out. Hang on. Now, remember, if this doesn't trigger, I'll put something different out. Okay, there we go. He traveled the country with his dummy, Cy, a real wooden ventriloquist dummy, and he would go from just town to town, church to church. He would set up in, you know, parking lots of convenience stores, and he would use the dummy to witness for Christ, to tell Bible stories, to entertain kids, and people would take him in and put him up for a few days. And so we told him, we says, hey, when you get down to Phoenix, look us up. And sure enough, he did. He rode his bicycle from Quartzsite, Arizona. He rode it all over America, but when he got to Phoenix, we put him up in our men's home. We had a home at the time, Cypress House. It was a home for men recovering from alcohol and drugs. We put him up. He wasn't in recovery himself, but he needed a place to stay, and it was a great environment. So we put he, and it was a blessing for the guys to have him there. But this was a guy who had sold everything, you know, and just was traveling and living by faith. Remember when Jesus sent the disciples out, and they only, I think they had an extra coat, maybe? Was that it? And he said, wherever you go, you know, people, they'll take care of you. And so this is kind of what my friend was doing, just traveling America. So he came and he stayed with us in Phoenix for a good while. He's since gotten married to a nice Christian lady, and he's settled down. He doesn't ride the bicycle anymore. He's put on about 50 pounds. but it was I was really just kind of touched and amazed by his faith that God would provide for him, because he was out doing God's work, sharing the gospel in a very unique and innovative way. People would stop and listen to a ventriloquist and the dummy who would not normally stop and listen to some street corner preacher, you know, who's screaming at the wind. So, what a great story that. Maybe I'll have him on for an interview someday. His name was Royce Williams. You might be able to Google him up or find him on the Facebook. He still has Cy. And I'm sure in the church that he's in, I think he and his wife are the youth pastors, so I'm sure he still uses Cy. But he was the old, probably an antique wooden ventriloquist dummy. And he would ride on the bicycle. You know, when you see the at the park, mom or dad, they have the little seat on the back of the bicycle where their kid rides with them with a helmet on. Across America, Cy rode in one of those little seats behind Royce with the helmet on, because he didn't want to fall off the bike and crack his wooden head. So, anyway, I was kind of reminded, except Royce had absolutely nothing to do with trading. He was just sharing the gospel. And this guy that's the trading thing, I don't know anything about him and his faith yet. I just stumbled across him the other day, and I thought, wow, what a great time we'll have following this journey. And he's up front. He says, hey, you know, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I'm used to trading from a place of comfort where I have enough money in my account that I don't have to worry about snagging profits too quick, or, you know, that kind of, I have to be very aggressive with taking profits because this is the money I will live on as I travel across America. So it's going to be good. Going to be good. My wife just typed in that Cy, the ventriloquist dummy, was over 100 years old. Oh, we got another guy that came and stayed with us for a while. His name was Nathan from New York, from Brooklyn. God, this guy had the most incredible Brooklyn accent, the textbook Brooklyn accent. He traveled all over the country. Now, he didn't have a dummy, but he just preached on street corners. He had signs. He had a cross that he carried with him. And, man, what a passionate guy this man was. I haven't heard from him in a long time, but I had so much admiration and respect. And he'd come and he'd be in Phoenix for a few days, a few weeks, whatever the case. And he would say, hey, God spoke to me last night and I'm headed to L.A. or I'm headed to Dallas or wherever it was that he would go next. And he would go there and he would set up shop and he would preach and witness until God moved him on to some other place. And, God, you know, now, here's someone who literally did not know where his next meal was coming from, nor did he care. He wasn't concerned about it. He truly believed that God would provide, and God did, over and over and over. Really an inspiration, both of them. Both of them. Okay, I don't see any other questions, so I guess we're going to wrap this up. Let's go look at the Fortick range chart. Okay, on the NQ, nothing there. But there was a little something there earlier, but not at the moment. Guys, got anything setting up? Okay, Jonathan. I should hear back from him later today because I think he's going to be here tomorrow. He's speaking to some school kids out in Verado, I think. And I think this guy's driving. I don't think he's riding a bicycle or walking. Nathan walked or took the bus. Royce rode a bike. I'm pretty sure this guy's got a vehicle. But yeah, Jonathan, I really would love for you to be there. This would be great. And I'll reveal who it is the first day he's on the show, guys. We'll tell you all about him and everything. It's going to be really looking forward to it. All right. Does anybody have anything setting up on their four-tick range chart? We'll do a live trade here real quick. If anybody, any of you partners, anybody that's on the free trial, if you got a trade setting up, let me know. NQ taking a dive here, which means the ES might be taking a dive. Okay, so let's go back here, see what we got. Iris says that gold is setting up, so we'll take a look at that, Iris. Jason says the Russell might be setting up here in a minute. Okay, this is the ES. Given the fact that I just put out a short tweet, I would wait for this thing to get. I mean, right now we got bullish divergence. We don't have anything to support a short trade on the four tick range at the moment. Let me go look at the GG. I'm not sure that's the right contract, Irish. You typed in GCM3. Aren't we in K for gold? Let's see what we got in K. K, we got a bullish. No, Ed says we're definitely an M, which is too bad because there's a trade setting up here in the month of K. Is there any volume in K, anybody? No? A little bit. Six contracts, two contracts. Yeah, I guess we better stay away from that. Okay. All right, so let's get rid of that. Remove volume. All right, so let's go back to the M contract. Okay. We don't have the divergence. I need this guy to come down. And I need this guy to go up. We are getting a bearish cross. So this is in the early stages of a setup. Jason said the Russell may be in a bit. Let's just have a look. The June Russell. We're getting the black line getting dangerously close there to the green line. So that's not working for me. Jason says, look at beans. Okay. Let's look at beans. JSK. Okay, got bullish divergence. Got a bullish cross. Got a pull back and a pull away. We got another pull back here. Okay, the low, 91.25, so it would be 91.29. See if that low holds. No, the low is 91.25, so 91, what? 13.91.25. Well, that's just one tick. Two, three, four. Thanks, Jason. Jason said I shouldn't push it. I should just wait for the setup. That's great advice. Thanks, buddy. He's absolutely right, guys. You never push it. Let it come to you. We'll see what happens. If we get a close above this trend line, if this cycle stays blue, I'll trade. I would trade this. You can watch it for just a minute. So this low again, 91.25 right there. 1, 2, 3, 92.25, 92.5. Yeah. So you go to 92.5, just for anyone that needs to know the mechanics, you right-click. Let's see what happens. Let's see if we get a close above there. All right, we'll let that percolate for a minute. It doesn't seem to be in any hurry to go anywhere. Oh, just put in a lower low. So that's going to change What's the new low? All right, so that would bring that down a tick. 92.25, which would be right there. Jason says, never mind, BBC is in the step. Are you referring to some other trade? Oh, you're referring to the Russell. Okay, gotcha. Yeah, no, everything's fine here. We just need to close above the trend line. So far, everything's fine. Zeus says we got crude setting up. Okay. Well, we'll have a look at that. So we know where we would be long here for the moment on this soybean if we were to get a pop, but let's go look at the crude. GGCK3. Okay. Now, for those of you who are listening to this after the fact via podcast, of course, you don't have the benefit of video, and so there's a lot of silence here, a lot of radio silence. But all I can do really is encourage you to try to tune in live. And there may come a time when we record the video as well of the live broadcast. It's just that there's a lot of storage space and a lot of bandwidth to serve it up. So could happen. Okay, the low of this candle is 99.20. So 1, 2, 3, 4. Buy it on a stop at 99.70 if it closes above. Do I still have the divergence? Yeah, Jerry, I do. Bullish divergence here. Because what will happen is if things starts to rally, this green line will hook up here. But yeah, we got them running in different directions, so that's divergent. Now, if anybody's watching the soybean, I don't think that's going to happen. Looks like it's trading lower. So I've got my DOM up over here, so I'm able to eyeball it on that. I'm just not able to look at the chart at the moment. So we'll give this a couple minutes just to see what happens. We're going to enter on a stop at 1599.70 if we get a close up above the trend line. I found it interesting yesterday that the Google homepage mentioned Cesar Chavez's the homepage of Google, at least if you're in Arizona, was dedicated to Cesar Chavez's birthday, but nothing about Easter. I suppose I shouldn't really be surprised by that. Oh, Zeus says that I should be in the M month for gold. Are you sure? I thought we just switched to K. All right, then I guess we'll scratch this trade if that's the case. Oh, you could be wrong. Okay. Well, then we'll wait till somebody gives me a confirmation. Jason says the NQ just went off, so let's go have a look at the NQ. Yeah, we're a little late to the party. If it closes back below the trend line, I'll go ahead and take a whack at it. Let me get a DOM going. Did it close below? All right. Yeah, we'll sell it. Let's go. All right, we're short. 27.94 on the NASDAQ. Here's the low of the day down here at 27.91.75. You can see that my stop loss is up here at 27.96. I don't have a target because this thing, you know, can get cooking to the downside. And I'll see. We've already... Green line has already ran into the cycle, but the cycle turned red. It's laying flat. If we can take out this swing low right here, that could lead to a very nice little trade. So let's see what happens. Need to get our stop. Oh, let's go ahead and protect ourselves against any loss on this trade. Momentum is either our friend or we get taken out plus one tick, and that one tick covers the cost of commission on the trade. There we go. Come on down. Okay, so we're short, so we need a stop order down here to have some kind of a target. Okay, so now... Again, we got short, 27.94, right there. We've already moved our stop to plus one tick. Okay. So that one tick covers the commission on the trade. If it comes back, stops us out, no problem. We got a free look at the market. The enemy to our trade, if you want to call it that, or the obstacle, that's a better term, the obstacle, is this swing low right here. Once that swing low is taken out, then we've got, well, we're at the low of the day, quite frankly. So if we take out 27.91.75, and we'll have a new low on the day. It depends on your commission, on your cost of commissions, Jason. Commissions are, you know, can be negotiable at a certain volume level. So, but you are correct. For an off-the-rack commission, you would need two ticks. So let's do that. Okay, there's a low of the day, 27. Come on, come on. Oh, we got below it for a second there. Our cycle is still flat and red. That's a friend to our trade. And I just want to see this thing close. I'd love to see it close below this swing low here. Okay. Need another tick down. There we go. Come on down. Yeah, come on down. Hey, I'm pushing my target out farther. All right, we got 13 ticks in this so far. Obviously, I had some ticks up here on the DOM before we got into this trade. But this trade itself has, because this was sitting at 99 when we started, so. Let's see, we could just take that. You could just take that if you were in the trade. You don't have to wait for a new low. You don't see, it looks like it wants to come back. Yep, it's coming back to 27.93 probably to test that BBC. So our entry was at 27.94. The swing low so far was 27.90.50. So at one point we had, what, four points in the trade? Is that right? But it's on autopilot right now. Now we need to, now we got to take out this swing low if we're going to continue down. One or two things will happen. We'll take out this swing low, or price will go back up here to 27.93.50. And I'll get stopped out plus two ticks, which covers the cost of commissions on the trade. We could have exited at 27.90.50, low of the day. We did put in a new low on the day during this trade. Okay, I'm going to make sure in these other markets, I'm just going to cancel all. And on the beans for now, I'm just going to cancel all. Always remember to cancel those orders. If you got orders hanging out there, you know, don't just walk away and get caught up in something else. Make sure, yeah, thanks, Jason. I did. I took the beans off. Jesus says the gold contract is setting up right now, the M contract. All right, let's just go ahead and take this. I think we've accomplished what we wanted to do. We put on a trade, so. All right, let's go look at the goal that's setting up. GGCM. Got bearish divergence, got a bearish cross, but unfortunately, unless we come down hard, the black line is going to work its way up into the BBC, and that's going to negate the trade. Well, let's see what happens. We'll give it a couple ticks here to see what happens. Okay, anybody have any questions on that NASDAQ trade? Anything? And we can go back and look at it again if you guys have any questions. Oh! Alright. Could have got a little better entry there, I suppose. But we're in. We got bearish divergence. Cycle is still red. Our entry is at 1,620. Our stop loss is up at 1,690. So we got slipped a tick there on the entry. So because we want to have eight ticks. So let me bump that up one. Okay, that gives us eight ticks exactly of risk. Right? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. There we go. Okay, target. There's actually one down here. I got one programmed in. It's at 98.90. So, main concern is to be able to get our stop loss to break even plus a tick as quickly as possible. Was there any questions on that NASDAQ trade? It was a nice little trade. Everything went swimmingly according to plans. Gold just got quiet. It'll take off here in a second. Okay, I'd like to see this candle closed back below our entry. And then we got to close below the CFMA 1. And then we got to close below the swing low. So those are obstacles to the trade. Swing low right there. MA1 right there. So we need to close below that. Close below that. And then we've got the next swing low would be over here at 1598.30. So let's go 98.50. Give it a couple ticks of cushion there. Entry, 1620. Stop loss, 1601. Target, 1598.50. Obstacles to the trade, the MA1, got to get through that. Previous swing low, got to get through that. If we can close below that, then it's opens. We got clear sailing to here. So far, we're down 3 ticks in the trade. The black line has worked its way up into the BBC. Not a friend to our trade. However, the cycle, I mean, the cycle's still red. Confronted with this, you could scratch out, take a couple tick loss, and say, you know what, I'll wait for the next setup. Gold's up $4.40 on the day. Spot gold. S&P is down 8. Oh, yeah. Let's look at the S&P for a minute. Okay, there's the S&P. See, it hit that trend. Look at that. It hit that trend line and bounced. Now remember, our trigger's down here at 54. The tweet trigger. The tweet we sent out. Consider being short below 54. All right, that's where we are. On the S&P. This is where we are on gold. See, aggressive risk management, you could scratch out here. You could just say, you know what? I don't like the way this looks. Step line, black line has worked its way up into the BBC. We're testing the underside of that trend line. Market's kind of quiet. I got to run, so I can only hang out with this for just another minute or two. you know what? I'll leave this running for the moment, but I'm going to go ahead and sign out and log off. I don't see any other questions. Apparently, if you're in here and you're a partner, you understand the trade. You know exactly what's going on. You're on top of it. So let's wrap this up. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Whoever you are, wherever you are, may God continue to richly bless you with His mercy and with His grace. And I'll see you at the bell.
Remember this. There is no greater return on investment than to see a human life changed and given hope. As always, pray hard and trade safe. Any financial information discussed on this show is simply the opinion of our host, Dwayne Reeves, his co-hosts, and guests. To learn more about trading e-mini futures or to take a one-week free trial in our live trading room, call 1-866-928-3310. 866-928-3310. Information discussed on this radio program should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell any security. Always do your own due diligence and consult with a licensed securities broker or financial planner before making any investment decisions.